Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show. Hello, it's Joni Winberg, Certified Human Behavior Consultant, Divorce Mentor, and also the facilitator of the group coaching program called How to Emotionally and Financially Survive Divorce. So I am really thrilled to have everyone tuning in today. I have a great guest. Our guest tonight is actually going to be talking about five important financial things to do now during the divorce process. My guest is Kevin Garrett, who is a financial advisor, as well as a wealth investment and retirement strategist. So he's going to have a lot of great information to help us through that and make sure that we're taking care of not only ourselves, but our money. So I'm thrilled to have Kevin on the show. So welcome, Kevin.
Hey, Joni, how you doing?
Good, good. So Kevin, this is really exciting. There's some things that maybe people are doing but not doing. But before we jump into the five important financial things that you really want people to do now, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you're supporting people through the divorce challenge?
Well, absolutely. And first of all, thank you so much for having me here today.
I'm thrilled.
I've been in this business for about 10 years, been an investor for 30, but really been in the financial planning business for about 10. I got into this business originally with the whole thought that I wanted to make a positive impact on people's lives. And it was about the same time that my daughter was born, and I was spending some time at home after spending a lot of time overseas, and really kind of felt that there was an opportunity to make an impact for people. I saw firsthand through my own family member who experienced a situation where she lost a good deal of her life savings through somewhat of a fraudulent situation. And because of that, it affected her long-term plan. It affected her long-term life goals. And because I was thinking through how I could possibly grow and develop this concept of helping other people, that just really resonated with me. And I thought, you know, here's an opportunity that if she had a professional on her side to kind of watch after her, that she would have perhaps been in a better place. So that really was the point in time that I told myself, let's go this direction and let's commit ourselves to that. So over the last 10 years, I've been working with not only women who are business executives, business owners, but also women who've gone through situations through divorces or loss of a spouse, or in some cases, they just simply want to keep their money separate from their partner, and have been working with them toward building their long-term goals, doing their investment strategies, and just helping them and working them through the points that they need to get to in order to live the kind of life that they want to live.
Mm. And I just think it's great, the service that you're providing, especially helping women through the challenge of divorce. And we're going to be talking about like the five things that you mentioned to do now. So I kind of thought of that as even if you've already started the process of divorce and you haven't done these things, it's never too late. And it's good to just get these things started. Was that correct?
Well, it is. And in fact, it's really as I was putting together, you know, some thoughts on this, my feeling was that whether you're going through divorce or not, whether you're contemplating divorce in the middle of it or after the fact, these are all things that are really good for us to be doing. Mm-hmm. And in many cases, the feedback that I've received directly from my clients who have gone through this and they've said they're very, very happy to know that they had some direction and some guidance to address some of these things.
So it's never too late, no matter what situation. Probably if you are contemplating divorce, the best situation, though, would be to start getting these things in order beforehand, and if possible, so you have the big picture of your finances for now and in the future.
Well, ideally, that's absolutely ideally. Right. And I think you're going to see through some of the things that we talk about that in some cases it absolutely is imperative to try to do it proactively. But then some of these things that we'll talk about will be ongoing things that you're just going to want to hang on to and keep from time to time.
Okay. So as I said, we're going to talk about five important financial things to do now during the divorce process. So why don't we go through the five? And the first one you're talking about is gather financial documents. So let's talk about that, Kevin.
Yeah. Well, gathering the documents are very important from the standpoint of just capturing what is, in essence, your financial life. Whether it's bank statements, wills, trusts, just understanding where all of those documents are. Are they in a safety deposit box? Are they a file at your office or at your home? And just accumulating all of those in one place is making copies. Ideally, if you want to make a copy and put them on a web site, such as like a Dropbox that is secure, but also something that is kind of away from, the potential to have those get misplaced. I think that's a good idea as well. So the first thing is just accumulating all of those different things together in one place so that you can have a better handle on the different things that you need to address as you go through the divorce process.
So would you say like 401ks, any investments as well, retirement plan? I mean, just everything that you can possibly think of that might be involved. Because I know some states, at least the state that I'm in, Massachusetts, it's a 50-50 thing. So it would be important to have all that in front of you.
Absolutely. All brokerage statements need to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And that would include any type of accounts that you might have, not only like a 401k statement if you're working with, if you're currently employed and your employer, you're doing some savings through your employer, but also things like IRAs if you've had former 401ks and you rolled them over, any type of retirement accounts like a Roth, as well as joint accounts, accounts that are what I consider to be more taxable accounts. Mm-hmm. Share perhaps with you and your spouse, or in some cases, ones that you just have separately. So all of that is really important, along with all the bank statements, any type of agreements that you might have as it relates to any debts, credit card statements.
All I always forget about that part.
That's all part of it. You need to know it all. Yep.
And even any property or anything like that.
So mortgages, deeds, all of those things need to be included in that. Yes.
So the positive as well as the negative, as far as making sure all those documents are together.
Exactly.
I know of a client I was working with, and she felt she had to kind of sneak things around. She hadn't discussed divorce, but she was planning on it. And so she actually went and got copies of everything and had everything in order. So I know it comes and is done many different ways. So I guess whatever works for your situation.
Yeah. I mean, ideally you'd want to just keep those things somewhat in order all the time, but I know life happens and we don't always and so from that standpoint, yeah, just taking the time to kind of consolidate all of those into one place again, it will also, I think, probably surprise you sometimes what you come across. So from that standpoint, it's really important to just take a good inventory of everything relating to your financial life, both the assets that you have as well as the liabilities that you have.
Yeah. Because I really feel as though the attorney will take care of certain things, but having a financial advisor is so, so important going through this process, because you have a whole different background and support, a support to help a person versus an attorney. So this is where, to me, a financial advisor could really, really be helpful for a person in case they forget to get certain documents or anything like that.
Well, yeah, and that really goes to the whole issue around building a team, which is one of our points that we want to talk about. Not only I think is it important to have a good good attorney, but also have a good financial advisor, also a good counselor, because these are all things that each individual, each professional is going to address different parts of your life. and they're going to be areas that you need that support and assistance in, and you don't really want to do it with someone who doesn't know that area. I mean, this is not the time to go out and try to do it on your own, or just simply wing it with somebody who perhaps, doesn't really know what they're doing. So, you know, in terms of a financial advisor in particular, because that's the area I can speak to more than anything else.
Sure.
You really need to look at somebody who is a fiduciary. In other words, someone who is working with your best interest at heart. And in some cases, there's two standards in our industry. There's a suitability standard, and then there's a fiduciary standard. And the fiduciary standard is really where, I use the example, if my daughter were going out and looking for a financial advisor and it wasn't me, I would want her to be looking at somebody who's a fiduciary, because by law, they have to put their interest secondary to their clients.
Right.
That's the way we operate here. I think it's frankly the way everyone should operate. But you need to have that. The other thing about financial advisors as opposed to attorneys, I mean, you needed that in your case, for instance. You're in Massachusetts, and in my case, I'm in Georgia. You want an attorney that's licensed in that state.
In that state, yes.
In particular. Mm-hmm. Financial advisors also need to be regulated. They're regulated, and they need to be registered in different states. So it's important to make sure that, even though, like in my case, I have clients throughout the country, but every state that where I have a client, I have to be registered in that state. Mm-hmm. So it's important to make sure that that advisor is, whether they're located in the state or not. And frankly, with technology being the way it is, I mean, look at us today.
We're
in different cities and talking as if we're together. It's still important to make sure that they're registered in the state that that you're living in.
Excellent. Thanks. That's great. So number two, we're talking about assess your credit. So this is probably something that people might not always remember to do. So let's talk about that, Kevin.
Yeah, assessing your credit is going to be really important for a couple of reasons, and we'll address this further as we get into things like credit cards and such. But you want to be able to get a sense of where you are with your credit, and to the extent that there's an opportunity to improve, take some steps to improve your credit, you should do that. So it's a proactive step going into the divorce process, but then after that, it's one of those ones I mentioned to you earlier. You need to just keep doing it periodically. You're allowed by law to get a free review of your credit annually, and I encourage people to do that, because you never know what you can find. I mean, just as an example, I found a mortgage on a home that I had sold that still hadn't shown being paid off, and it was about 12 years old.
Wow.
And for whatever reason, it had missed, I had not seen it on previous reports, but all of a sudden it showed up on one. And sure enough, the mortgage company had indicated that they had found some back information, didn't put the two pieces together. And so they put it on my credit as an outstanding thing.
Oh, wow.
And so I had to go through a process of showing where we had subsequently refinanced the house, got that taken care of, but that would have shown an outstanding balance that was my responsibility. I hadn't cleaned that up. So it's really important to go through it, clean those things up that are old, make sure that you're paying on time on those credit cards, because that will negatively impact you. And from that standpoint, just guard that, because that is going to be a very important element for you going forward, when you're going to have to start looking at perhaps, whether it's mortgages, credit cards on your own, that type of thing. You're going to have good credit in order to qualify for the best possible loan cost that they're going to be charging out there in terms of interest.
And also the other thing too is, if you haven't established credit in your own name, this is probably a time to apply for one and then pay it off and start to build some credit on your own as well.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is, if you can do that, I would highly recommend you do that, because at the end of the day, you're going to have to stand on your own credit, and it's really important to do that.
That's great. Helpful information. Number three is open accounts in your name. And I guess maybe that's connected to what we were just talking about, or is it something different as well?
No, it's the same thing. And in 2009, there was a law that was passed associated with credit card accountability. And the whole idea behind the law was somewhat to protect students and people who perhaps had a level of income that couldn't support too much debt. It kind of forced the credit card companies to not just give out credit cards left, right, center. I mean, we remember those days when you'd see credit cards practically land in your mailbox unsolicited, and you could just spend away. And so that law back in 2009 addressed some of that. One of the unintended consequences, though, of that law was that it also hurt, in many cases, the women who went through divorce, had not been working, had not had a history of earnings, because perhaps working at home, raising children. Then now they've gone out on their own. They're looking for a job, or perhaps they even have one, but they don't have a long history of employment, and it was hurting them. So there was some adjustments that were made several years after that, around 2012, I believe. And at that point in time, that some of those unintended negative consequences were addressed and corrected. But it's still very important to go through the process of, as I said before, cleaning up your credit. And to the extent that you can, go out there, look at credit cards, but look at them also from the standpoint of what type of fees they're going to charge. These days there are credit cards companies out there that will, in some cases, allow you to make very little interest-free payments for a period of time. And so, you know, that gets to the point of that good credit history, because if you have good credit, you're going to be able to qualify for the best possible deals. And I've seen some out there that actually allow you to pay minimum, carry a balance on your card, which in some cases is necessary as you're getting out on your own. In some cases, not have to pay any interest on that until like 2017 in some cases. So, but the key is that credit.
I think that's a great deal for people if they can certainly get that 0% and help themselves without having to pay the interest. So the main thing is to clean up, as you're saying, clean up your credit, you know, double check in the report, the credit report, also any outstanding credit cards or debt. But also, this is, you're talking about to help establish credit for yourself if you haven't done that over the years.
That's correct. Because in many cases, I mean, what I found with a lot of my clients are these women have either been very busy, you know, either working at home, raising children, or in some cases, maybe doing their own thing with their entrepreneurial efforts. Maybe they're employees of companies or managers of companies, but perhaps they haven't focused on some of these things as for whatever reason. So it's just important to kind of get back to some of the basics that, you know, are going to, from a long-term standpoint, impact them.
Kevin, why don't we take a second here and make sure people, I know your website is across the screen as you're speaking, but just to make sure that people know where they can get a hold of you. And I think you have something that people can even get that's on your website. They can put their email in, and there's like a report or something too on your website, just to have people go there and just look around and get to know you and check it out. But your website and all of that information, Kevin?
Yeah, it's Kevin Garrett, IFG, and IFG stands for Integrated Financial Group, which is my company. Again, we are a federally regulated financial advisory group based in Atlanta, but we have clients all over the country. And if you go to that website, what you'll see is an opportunity to go and put your name in, and you can access a report that we put together that addresses 9 mistakes that women make as it relates to their financial well-being. And I won't give away all the secrets in that now. You can go and look at it. But the reality is, I think it's a real nice blueprint for how to go through the process of making sure that you're all buttoned up financially. Additionally, on that site, we have loads of videos that will touch on a lot of different aspects of people's financial life. And, you know, we believe that financial planning doesn't have to be dry and exhaustive and and you know, just painful to deal
with. Boring.
Yes. So we try to keep the videos very, very short and sweet. And then what we do is obviously when we talk to folks who give us a call, we get into the nitty gritty as it relates to their personal things, not just a cookie cutter approach.
Well, this might be a good time to let our listeners know that you and I are actually going to be working together. And you did hear me say at the beginning of the show that I'm facilitator of How to Emotionally and Financially Survive Divorce, which is a live group coaching call. But what I'm honored is that I've been doing this for years, helping women emotionally. And so I've teamed up with you, Kevin, so that you can help women financially, not only as we're talking about different things to do, but for their future. So I'm just thrilled. And Kevin, maybe just touch upon that and give them the website. And we're just putting it together. So we still got some work to do, but we are excited to be working together. I am.
Oh, I'm absolutely excited. It's going to be great, Joni. I think that, you know, when I look at what the what is necessary and what's needed for women who are either beginning the journey through divorce or in the divorce process themselves, or even after the fact, what surprisingly is missing out there is a quality program, you know, run and supported and managed by professionals who really focus on both the emotional aspect and the financial aspect. Both of those are huge. I think if you ignore either one, you do it so at your peril, and it's probably not a wise thing to do. Mm. So I'm really excited about the package that we've put together. I think it's just chock full of value and good stuff. And I'm looking forward to just going through it with you and working with the folks that take advantage of the program.
Mm-hmm. So it's a great bonus and everything. But that website is survivingdivorce.org. So like I said, we're just fine-tuning it, putting it together, but we're going to be really promoting it and letting people know about it so that they get all the support they need. So I'm thrilled, Kevin, and we will stay tuned for that.
Absolutely.
So on step number four, you're talking about assemble a divorce team and of professionals, which you have talked upon. But anything else you want to say about that as well, Kevin?
No, again, I think it's important to all three of those people that we're talking about mm-hmm. are critical to not only the success of the process of divorce, but also getting you through it and getting mm-hmm. you back to a good position in life as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. I think it's important. I think about, you know, in the financial planning world, in all of our lives, we have certain people that need to be trusted advisors on our team in life. And, you know, the divorce counselor piece, I think the attorney piece, those are hugely important through this process. Mm-hmm. I think the planning process as well, long haul, is really one of the more important relationships, if done correctly, that you can have in your life. Mm-hmm. And it's important to have, I think, when you're going through this process, aside from looking at people who have the appropriate credentials and expertise. I mean, you and I both have got a lot of years of experience under our belt and, mm-hmm. and certifications and whatnot. But at the end of the day, you get past that and you make sure that those people have those things. Then I think you want to just spend some time just asking yourself, is this person empathetic? Are they listening? You know, are they going to be an advocate for me? Mm-hmm. And, you know, surprisingly, I find that a lot of folks, in my business, in my practice anyway, lack a little bit of that. We're so busy telling you how smart we are.
And that's true.
And how successful we can be, we can make you, that we forget to just listen to our clients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things that we really try to do a lot of, is just to understand what the client's needs are so that we can put together the strategies that meet their specific needs. And I know, you know, you're a great listener. You do, you know, a lot of work with folks through this process. And I think attorneys need to, that we have on this team also need to be people who are going to be not someone who's just going to see another number, but really personally invest themselves in this process. And there's a lot of great ones out there, but you get past the academic piece, and then you focus really, I think, on who you sense, trusting your gut, you know, really cares about you so much. And that's an important
Absolutely. And I think too, why we've connected so well too, Kevin, is that we both want to help women. I'm working on the emotional end, you're working on the financial end. But what we've talked about over the weeks too is building the confidence and the self-esteem and setting goals, whether it's for, you know, a new job or a financial goal. But, you know, these are the things that, like you're seeing, that are missing. And that's what I'm seeing is missing. And yes, we have to get along with our former. And how do we do that without high conflict, especially for the sake of the children? So this is all the big picture that we have seen, and where there is a lot of lack of confidence and self-esteem, especially if someone has dealt with not necessarily physical abuse or verbal abuse, but maybe someone's a passive aggressive. So, you know, we both see a lot of this in this business, and this is why we wanted to make something easy and clean and easy to grab onto, so to speak, to help them move forward. Especially, and I know I heard you say a lot, is to build that confidence in the women. And I know financially, this where a lot of confidence is probably lacking. So it's a great tool that you're offering, Kevin.
Well, I think, you know, we all want to have a picture of where we're going in life. Mm-hmm. We want a sense of, and I think when you have that, you have a sense of confidence, and you have some sense of clarity around where your goals are, and they're your goals. They're not anyone else's. So, you know, right. It can be a very personalized journey, but it's important, I think, to not only get some clarity around that, but then to continue to monitor and evolve the plan. That could be whether that's, you know, an investment strategy that needs to evolve over time, whether it's a estate planning evolution that occurs. Mm-hmm. You know, these things do change due to life events. And so from that standpoint, you know, that it's really a process that never ends. And that's why I think it's so important to have someone that on your, you know, and people on your team that are empathetic, and while they're professional, but they're also good listeners.
Oh, big time. It has to be good listeners. The last one is to be aware and watchful. So what does that mean, Kevin?
Well, that's kind of, to me, that's addressing perhaps the darker side of human behavior that ideally, you know, being generally an optimist at heart, I'd like to think people don't do this, but we all know people do that, which is, in essence, your spouse, soon to be ex-spouse, perhaps. There are plenty of examples where you know, they attempt to hide assets. They attempt to, you know, send you in wrong directions as it relates to where certain investments are. And at the end of the day, most of the time, those will come out. And usually it ends up becoming more costly for the person trying to hide it. But I point that out only because I think it's, you know, Ronald Reagan said, inspect what you expect.
I like that.
Yeah, and trust but verify. And, and I think both of those are really wise lines for what I'm talking about in this particular item, because, you know, you can be told one thing and more than likely it will be truthful and accurate. But on the other hand, you know, money
might not be.
And so it's important to kind of make sure that you're getting the full story on that one.
Well, I think it ties back to your first one. Number one is to gather your financial documents. And as you said, you might find some things that you didn't know about or weren't aware of. So if you're doing your due diligence and getting your documents together, this might also uncover some things.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. And so from that standpoint, if things don't quite match up the way you think that they should, then that's where you might want to dig a little deeper.
Well, Kevin, this has been great. A lot of information, and also just, you know, things that people need to be aware of. And I love, especially number five, be aware and watchful. So if you were pulling it all together, Kevin, and able to give some last words of wisdom or a tip, what would you say, Kevin?
Well, I think probably I would say do what is very difficult during this time, which is try to address these things methodically and as unemotionally as you can. Emotion can be a very powerful tool, but it can also be a negative impactor. It sometimes makes us not think clearly. I think it's important to not feel rushed or bullied or pulled too much in the direction if you don't feel that way. And that's where it's important to lean on the professionals that you've kind of surrounded yourself with, because at the end of the day, they should have only your best interests at heart. And so that's what I would suggest, is just go into this thing knowing it's going to be a ride. Even the good ones, even the good horses are not pleasant. And but then at the end of the day, remember that this too shall pass. Mm-hmm. And that you want to move on with your life and try to make the best of the rest of your life. And that's all part of living, I guess, at the end of the day.
So once again, your website, Kevin, where they can connect with you.
Yes, it's www.kevin, K-E-V-I-N, Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, and then the letters ifg.com.
Perfect. Well, Kevin, thanks so much for being on the show. As I said, a lot of great information, and hopefully people have taken some notes and will reach out to you to learn more. And as I said, we're very excited about our new program, and that's going to be something that's going to be known soon. That's the website is survivingdivorce.org. So we're both excited to be doing that. And also to listen to this show again, you can go to divorceview.com, and that's where you can see the video over and over again if you couldn't take all the notes at one time. And then also we're excited to have this also as a podcast as well. So if you're too busy to actually sit in front of a video and watch, you can listen to the podcast. But thanks again, Kevin, for being on the show. Great info.
Well, great. Thanks again for having me. I look forward to working with you.
Take care. And all to our listeners, tune in next week, and we look forward to seeing you then.